But joining me today, this is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we are wishing you the best from Natural Alternatives. We have so many workshops coming up right now. It's really the time to go to naturalnurse.com. And once you get there, look at calendar. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you right now. Because on the calendar is a listing of so many different events where you can get credit. You can become an herbalist. You can become a certified herbalist. Coming up starting tomorrow, we have a very exciting online event, which is 100% free. It's called Remedy, Ancient Medicine for Modern Illness. Discover the mysterious world of ancient herbal medicine with renowned herbalists. And I am one of the herbalists that are going to be on that docu-series. It goes on for 10 days. It's free. It's on from September 5th to September 13th. You can tune in once a day and see a different docu-series event, or you could watch them all at once. I think they allow a different viewing time to make up if you miss. It's not a particular time of day. It's kind of like any time. And it's about the hard-hitting and transformative documentary with the most powerful herbal medicines known to man. And this is 100% free to you. Find out how you can use herbs for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, and to really stay well and healthy. And our whole topic of our show today is going to be about herbs. So go to naturalnurse.com, click on calendar. You can also go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse. I have it posted there as well. And you can join in on this really exciting docu-series that is made by Sacred Science. And many renowned herbalists are part of it, including yours truly, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, as well as Rosemary Gladstar, and all different herbalists who you've heard here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. So that's a really wonderful free giveaway. Then this weekend, we have the Imagine Music and Arts Festival, where I will be presenting. That is on Orcas Island, Washington, and we'll be talking about herbalism and interspecies communication. That event has thousands of people coming, and it's 3 days, but it's way up in Orcas Island. For those of you who are listening in Washington State, you can still come in. Then we have an online event, September 12th, which is called Cycles of Life, Women's Wellness Naturally, and that grants CE credits for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, or if you just want to learn for yourself, you get a certification. It's about cycles of life, women's wellness naturally, how to use herbs to balance women's health. On September 23rd, we have our Fall Season Chinatown Herb Walk in New York City. So you can click on that and join us. So many, many workshops coming up. We have Cooling the Fire Dragon, How to Manage Inflammation. That's in October online. And, of course, the American Herbalist Guild Bioregional Herbalism Conference. And that's another 3-day event, October 25th through 29th. And that is in Georgia for those of you who want to be on ground. So we have online and on ground every single day. Many of it is free. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar and you can get information about all of them. And we'd like to introduce our guest today. That is Sarah Chana Silverstein. And she is an herbalist, a master herbalist, and the mother of 7 children. She runs a pediatric and women's clinic in Brooklyn, where she specializes in children's and women's health. She also does TV segments across the U.S., teaching people how they can safely integrate natural medicine along with conventional medicine. And she is guest lectures at many places, including medical schools. And today we're going to talk about her beautiful new book, which is called Moodtopia, Tame Your Mood, De-Stress, and Find Balance Using Herbal Remedies, Aromatherapy, and More. So thank you for joining us today, Sarah.
Thank you, Ellen. It's a pleasure. I feel so honored. I'm grateful to speak with you today.
And we're happy to have you on as a guest. And people can find out more at Sarah Chana, S-A-R-A-C-H-A-N-A, lots of A's there, .com. So, Sarah, let's go back in time. And what led you on your path to become a specialist in herbals?
Well, I had my first two children, and I had been interested in herbal medicine for many years. But when I became a mom, I decided I'd be a pediatrician and do everything correctly. I just wanted to do things right. And my second child really suffered from terrible eczema, just terrible. And whatever the doctor was recommending was just not working. It was not clearing it up. And so I became very frustrated after lots of rounds of antibiotics and steroids. It didn't seem like the direction he was going was the direction of health. And I pulled out all my herbal books and my homeopathic books, and I ended up, thank God, clearing his eczema, helping him with his asthma. And I saw before my eyes a little child transition, and that just sparked my interest. And I knew I've always understood that conventional medicine, x-rays, MRIs are very important, and we need to be very happy and use them. But I just knew that herbs had been around for thousands of years, and so had human beings, and I knew there had to be ways to treat people with plant medicine.
Well, of course there are. And as you said, that has been actually the main medicine used by humans until very recently. In our book, The Natural Medicine Chest, we also discuss the politics of natural medicine and about why someone like yourself, a modern mother, wouldn't already know all this, like your grandmother would have known. It has been purposefully and politically erased from mainstream consciousness.
Yes, I agree. And my ancestors lived through World War II. And the ones that survived, you know, left the country at 17, 18 years old. And so that wise woman healing was just not part of their upbringing. So when they came to America, you know, I'm also a lactation consultant, and I was working with a woman in my office, helping her breastfeed, and her mother was there and her grandmother was there. And her grandmother had tears in her eyes as I was getting this very stubborn child to latch on to breastfeed. And she sat there and I saw her eyes welling up, and I said, "What was it? What is it?" And she said, "When I came over here from the old country, I gave birth in the hospital, and I went to breastfeed just like I saw my mother do. And they pulled away my child saying, 'No, that's what they did in the old country. In the modern country, we give formula.'" And she said she barely spoke the language. She also wanted to do everything right, so she ended up formula feeding her babies, where she knew in her heart and in her gut that breastfeeding was correct. So you're 100% right. I mean, women pass down information about herbs, home remedies, and we've lost that. And I'm really trying to, when I do TV shows across the country, and especially recently about my book Moodtopia, I really want people to integrate what modern medicine has to offer with what herbal medicine we know and we need to regain the knowledge about can help us in our lives.
Yes, and you noticed for yourself, and like many others, I'll say discover or rediscover natural medicine when they come up against a block and conventional or mainstream medicine just doesn't really work for them.
Right. Well, I recently wrote an article about how statistics state, and they change all the time. So this was the statistical research at the time of my article where it said, 1 out of 5 Americans are taking psychotropic medications. It went on to say that most of these people are being prescribed by their general doctors, who have between 6 and 8 minutes to spend time with these patients. once these patients are on psychotropic drugs, the study went on to say that they do not follow up with their doctors within the next 12 to 15 months because they figure they just need it and it's not anything to discuss. Now, I'm not going to say that psychotropic drugs don't have their place. If you're schizophrenic, if you have borderline personality or extreme cases of bipolar, of course, these medications can be life-saving. But what I'm finding with women that are coming to me and men is that people are dealing with normal insomnia or normal frustration or normal agitation or depression, well, I'd like to call it melancholy, and they're being prescribed these medications where I have seen that with some talk therapy, some support from family and friends, some herbs, of course, a lot of other little tips that I have in my book, that people can avoid these medications to get back to where they want to be emotionally.
Yes, and with much less adverse effects. It's not that the pharmaceuticals don't work. They work. They'll do what they said they're going to do. For instance, statin drugs, in most cases, will lower that cholesterol number, and that's what you're using it for. However, the vast array of adverse effects linked to pretty much every pharmaceutical drug is really what has to be assessed in terms of the risk benefit ratio. And in terms of risk-benefit ratio, herbs, homeopathics, aromatherapy, and other natural interventions just shine above pharmaceutical drugs.
Absolutely. And I when I work with clients, you know, we all have our protocols, but if I'm working with someone that's going through a very hard, stressful time emotionally, I will suggest that they take the herbs three times a day pretty consistently for 6 to 8 weeks to lower their cortisol or their stress hormones in their body. But what happens is when they start to feel better, they cut down on the frequency of the use. There are no side effects of withdrawal. And then if they go through an agitation time again, they know that their herbs are there for them. And I have found that people are empowered when they can regulate their use of herbs. And I find that when they need them, they'll give me a call or a text or an email and I'll say, yes, go back on them. And then they'll give me a call or a text and say, oh my gosh, you know, I haven't taken them for 2 weeks, but I'm feeling great. So you can't do that with psychotropic meds. It's not safe to go on and off of them. Whereas with herbs, it's okay. And it's actually suggested that you do that as you're symptoms become alleviated and the problems begin to dissipate.
Wow, that's so true. Now, of course, I'm sure you would never say, just like pharmaceuticals are not safe for everyone all the time, even natural remedies are not all safe for everyone all the time.
That's correct. And of course, you know, it's most important to work with a schooled herbalist to come up with a handful of herbs to have on your kitchen counter that's going to work for your body type physically and emotionally. That's the best way to do it. But in my book, Moodtopia, I do go through each herb individually, although, Ellen, you know we give blends to our clients, but I do introduce the herbs individually and give little anecdotal stories about the herbs so people can start to be familiar with them. The books I discuss in my book are generally safe across the board. But yes, there are many herbs that you have to be wary of and you have to have excellent guidance on, but not the herbs I talk about in my book. They're pretty easygoing.
And because you're talking mostly about mood herbs, and a lot of the ones I'm looking at here, like rhodiola and rose, they're what's called adaptogenic herbs. So why don't you tell us what would an adaptogen mean?
So an adaptogenic herb is an herb that works on the whole body system as opposed to a specific ailment. For instance, if you had a sinus infection and you came to an herbalist, you'd get herbs like Yerba Santa, Eyebright, Elderflower. These would be herbs that would thin the mucus and help reduce the inflammation in the sinuses. When you take an adaptogen, it kind of rejuvenates and supports the entire body. So it doesn't have a specific action. It it has a general action, and it tends to go to the central nervous system, either igniting it and giving it a little bit of strength or calming it down.
And most people are not, it's not something that's like super stimulating or even super sedating. Just what you said, that word calm and balance, that refers to a lot of these. Let's talk about rhodiola. Now, you're saying you prefer blends. Would you ever use something like rhodiola by itself, or would you give it along with other herbs usually?
Rhodiola is an herb that I do suggest in its single form because I think it's so powerful. It has a slight stimulant, but not like caffeine. It does not give you that feeling. And it does help with the term, again, I don't love the word depression, but it has been used in many studies in helping people with that sad, depressed, unstimulated feeling. So that's an herb I really do like to give singly. And there's so much research coming out of Russia that is an herb that is used there extensively, and the studies are just showing such positive results on rhodiola used in single form.
And boy, is there ever a lot of research on it. Anyone who wants to see it, it's not like hidden. You can just go to PubMed. Anybody can go to PubMed. It's 100% free. And you can just type in the word rhodiola, that's R-H-O-D-I-O-L-A, and see thousands of studies that have been done on it. And of course, you can refer to Sarah's beautiful book, Moodtopia, where she discusses rhodiola and so many herbs and how to use them, when to use them, how they helped her clients. So you can get a real handle. And if you're a doctor, what would you say? And you lecture at medical school, Sarah.
Yes.
What do you say if doctors in the class raise their hand and say, but herbs have never been studied scientifically?
Right. So, you know, one of the things about our doctors are that most people that go into healing modalities really do want to help people. And I would say that most of our doctors really want to be there for people. But if you look at the curriculum at medical schools, herbs and botanicals are just not part of it. And so these doctors just have no understanding or familiarity or education. So it's not that when you speak to these doctors one-on-one that they're against herbs. It's just that they have no education. I mean, it's like if someone came up to me and said, well, can you help me with my carburetor in my car? I would look at it and say, no, because I don't know the function of carburetors in cars. I know that you need one. So when you ask doctors about herbs, they become scared and hesitant because they're not familiar. They don't know the answers. About clinical double-blind studies, here's the story. If we have an herb like lemon balm is so easy to grow. It's in the mint family. It's a calming, relaxing herb. It's antiviral, which is a PS because we're exposed, especially as the weather changes, to so many colds and flus. It's something you can grow on your windowsill. You can give it to babies. You can give it to toddlers. You can give it all the way up to geriatrics. If I teach you about the herb lemon balm and I teach you how to make it into a tea or tincture it, I mean, the whole process will cost you under $20, and you can grow lemon balm for the rest of your life. So one of the reasons pharmaceutical companies and others are not spending millions and millions of dollars on double-blind clinical studies with herbs are, number one, is you can't patent an herb. You can patent part of an herb or an extraction from the herb, but you can't patent the herb. And women, men can use herbs and grow them on their own, so it's not a big money-making industry. And that's one of the reasons that herbs are not being used in all these studies.
Well, that's true. But actually, there's a huge movement that's in the, I would say, the nutritional supplement industry, where they are actually doing quite a bit of studies on different kinds of herbs, like when we talk about lemon balm, since you'll bring that up, there is a patented form called Blueness. That's B-L-U-E-N-E-S-S. And this is where they take lemon balm and then they make something called a standardized extract. Why do they do that? Because it's not like what you're talking about, Sarah, where someone grows it in their yard. You can even have it in a pot in an apartment. It's an amazingly fantastic plant, and everyone should actually have a little pet lemon balm to use as tea and, as you said, for medicine. But to patent it, they have to take one particular extract of it and then register trademark it. And I'm not saying I'm for this, but this is how the studies do get done. So they actually did that with lemon balm, and they created something called Blueness, and they studied it for cognitive health, and it had a very positive outcome. So, you know, that's how the studies are getting done. But you can go ahead and read the studies, and then, of course, the companies that are selling it will tell you you only can use their extract. I don't believe that at all. But it just so happens that we now know the traditional relaxing effects of lemon balm, like you talk about in Moodtopia. And through the studies, we know the exact mechanism of action because it can elevate levels of GABA. GABA aminobutyric acid, which helps the brain really calm down. It also has rosmarinic acid, as does rosemary. And that's probably the part of lemon balm that has this exact effect. So it's really, you know, sort of a double-edged sword that they are doing more studies because they're able to make this registered, trademarked active out of the plants. And on the other hand, I love the traditional use like you're sharing.
Right. That's so fascinating. I'm so glad to learn that. And, you know, the world is changing and morphing day by day. And I'm happy that these studies are coming out. I mean, I like herbs best in tincture form. Herbs come in dried form, which you can make into a tea. You can make these herbs in capsules, or you can make them in tincture. And for my clientele, I work mostly in New York and Los Angeles, where very fast-paced, overwhelmed people live. And for my clientele, I like it in tincture form. You can dilute it in a little juice or water. They're very portable. You can get little one-ounce bottles to carry in your purse or backpack. And that's the way I tend to use herbs in my practice. I find that to be most effective. And the fact that they're coming out in standardized forms, I'm going to have to try them and see them and play around with them and give you my feedback on them.
Yeah, that's a very good way to go. And you try it for yourself, you try it with your clients. And of course, well, let's focus on mood. Now, of all the things you have really tried to use herbs for, and you know what? We do have to take a break. So right after I introduce this topic, let's go to a break, and then we'll come back and delve into why you chose mood, Moodtopia, because you, as a master herbalist, you are registered, a registered herbalist, which is a big deal, by the way, with the American Herbalist Guild. And I mentor people who want to become registered herbalists because I'm on the council of the American Herbalist Guild. And it's really not an easy thing. So that is a very respectful registration that you have gotten, Sarah. So thank you so much for that. Let's go for a little break here. And when we come back, we're going to delve deeply into Moodtopia with the author of Moodtopia, master herbalist Sarah Channa Silverstein. And we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
And welcome back to another show right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We invite you to join us for our herbal webinar, which is totally free. It was put together by Sacred Science. All you have to do is go to naturalnurse.com and click on calendar, and you'll see a place right there to sign up, or go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and you could sign up there as well. Today, we are so happy to have an herbalist on our show as our guest, and we're talking today with Sarah Chaner Silverstein, and she is a master herbalist, a registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild, and mother of seven children, and she runs a pediatric and women's clinic in Brooklyn, New York, where she specializes in children and women's health. And she also lectures all over the country, isn't on radio and television. In fact, you know, Sarah, I heard you recently on NPR.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. That was wonderful.
I was just in the car, and I said, ah, there's my guest. And she is the author of Moodtopia. So now, you know, why did you choose? You could have written a book on anything. I mean, you're an herbalist. You use herb for many different situations.
Yeah, I of course, you know, when you sit down and want to write a book, there's, like you said, a million topics. There's just so much to explore. But I found that with working with women, that they would often speak about how their moods could get in the way of their success, either at work, with their children, with their husbands, and they just found that when things got frustrated or they became sad, that they would very often get stuck in these places. And I love talk therapy, and I think everybody should have a therapist, everybody, because we all need to work out and problem solve. But what I found from a lot of people that were coming to me was they had been in therapy for 10, 12 years. You know, certain things changed, but they'd still always get that feeling of nervousness in their stomach. They'd still get headaches after stress. They'd have so much pain in their shoulders. So I found that the talk therapy wasn't changing the chemical responses in their bodies. And I started, you know, many, many years ago, introducing my clients to either single blends of herbs or a mix that I would make, and they would stop having the physical symptoms of stress and emotional strife. And I feel that that's something that's very important. I mean, if you're nervous at public speaking and you have to do it monthly or bi-monthly, you can take an herb like skullcap. It will not blur your mind. It will calm you down. It can get rid of that nervousness in the pit of your stomach, and you'll be able to speak in a calmer fashion. Skullcap is an herb also from the mint family. Calming, relaxing, without a sedative side effect. And it's an herb that I've seen people use with great success. And that's why I wrote the book, because you can take an herb like blue vervain, which is an herb for more panicky nervousness. I had a client that came to me that actually made his living teaching and giving classes one-on-one or to large groups. And he came to me one day and said, "I'm happily married, my business is going well, everything's fine, and I was on a subway and got a panic attack." And he had been to a therapist and they couldn't quite figure out what it was that elicited this panic attack. He was very terrified to go on medications because he read all the side effects. And after a couple sessions, we did a lot of learned teaching him how to breathe. We were talking about creating an environment that was healthy for him. We spoke about a lot of ideas and tips that I have in Moodtopia, but I gave him a combination of skullcap with blue vervain. It took a couple weeks, but before he knew it, he was back to himself. And he doesn't necessarily have to take the herbs daily anymore, but he has it in his briefcase. A, he has the confidence of having it there if he needs it, and B, it's not placebo because it really worked for him. So that was a case in point and an example, and I knew that modern people needed this knowledge desperately.
So, you know, I heard something that, of course, in your discussion here of a specific client, now you run a women's and children's center, but yet you're talking about this individual and you're saying he. So obviously you talk to men as well.
Well, women that come in and feel successful end up bringing their husbands. They send their fathers. So I do work with men and women and children. And my clinic, because I began with breastfeeding and birthing clients, began with women, but yes, it has evolved to include lots of male clients, and they do well with herbs. You know, I have an amazing story because one of my favorite herbs on the planet, and I joke that it should be available on every corner, unlike our street drugs, is an herb called motherwort. Motherwort is for hormonal gloominess, when you feel sad and overwhelmed. And for women, you know, you can feel hormonal moodiness before your cycle, during your cycle, after your cycle, and again before your next upcoming cycle. So it's not just a PMS herb. So I had this male in my office many years ago, and he was just talking to me, and he needed motherwort. And from my training, motherwort was a woman's herb. So I took a plunge, and I gave him a bottle of motherwort. And his wife actually called me a couple weeks later and said, "Oh, my gosh, my husband does not complain as much, and he's not as grumpy and moody." And I called my mentor at the time, and I said, "Oh, my gosh, did I break every rule? Did I break every herbal rule? I just gave motherwort to a man." She said, "Tell me about it. That's so fascinating, Sarah Khanna. Of course it can be used for men." So a lot of our herbs that we feel are feminine herbs can be used beautifully and brilliantly with men. And I don't believe that there's a gender specific for herbs. And that's what I began to learn as I began working with more men.
That's an excellent observation. But when we have an herb which name is motherwort, first of all, the word wort means plant, and we all know what mother means. Really, the way it gets that name is because it was used for women's health. And motherwort is so incredibly interesting, especially for women on the other end, like you're talking about, you know, early womanhood and childbirth and motherhood, and then my crone level, you know, way past all that. I'm a grandmother several times over. So we're talking now about like women going through menopause, and it's excellent for that also. And it's interesting for men and women because it's really a heart stabilizer, particularly if you feel like you get a little bit of anxiety and palpitation, specifically at 3 a.m. It's so interesting that people who get that, I have them have motherwort and sage at their bedside, and it really quiets the spirit, whether you're male or female, as you said. So that's wonderful how we learn through observation over our years of practice that we can use it more. Another good one to talk about, you know, perhaps you have something to say about saw palmetto, because most people think saw palmetto is only for men.
Yes, it became a very popular male herb on radio and television, and I use it in my female blends all the time. Smaller quantities as opposed to the other combination in my blends, but I use it for women that do struggle with excess hair growth and other male indicators, and it really helps. It really changes their system and helps balance their hormones, because women have testosterone, and that's something that's not discussed very much in modern media. But we do have testosterone along with estrogen and other hormones, and our testosterone levels can get a little too high, making our other female herbs imbalanced, and adding a little bit of saw palmetto does the trick.
It does, and it's interesting, too, because it was really, and is still, because I live in Florida, where it grows, and I pick it myself, and it's ripe a little later in the year, getting soon. In fact, the berries are on, and late October is when we pick it. The only danger to picking it is that snakes, and sometimes poisonous snakes, love to hang around under palmetto berries. But how the natives in the area, and I always love to study the native aspect of herbal medicine, they knew that the saw palmetto berries were ready when the animals in the area started to have this really shiny, filled out, beautiful filled out musculature and beautiful shiny coats, because the fatty acids in saw palmetto are so healthy for so many things in the body. So it's really an overall nutritional herb. It's not only for hormone balance, but a lot of that gets lost in modern herbology, which likes to peg holes, like you said, motherwort for mothers and saw palmetto for prostate. That's really not the way traditional herbal medicine was done.
Absolutely not. I mean, we would take a complete history, and we're looking at the person. And, you know, my son's a physicist, and he called me one day and said, Ma, you know what the future of medicine is? You're going to love it. He said, one day we're going to be able to do individualized medicine. Isn't that remarkable? And I had to laugh. He's the son of an herbalist. I mean, that's what I do every single day. When a client comes in, no two clients get the exact same mix of herbs. You know, everybody's anxiety presents differently. Everybody's depression, which I like to call melancholy, prevents differently. I mean, some people are in a melancholy state and they sleep all the time. Other people in that same state can't go to sleep and they have insomnia. Other people that are in that state are overeating, and yet other people just can't touch food because they're just so nervous from feeling melancholy. So we can see that when we work with people, everybody's anxiety, stress, nervousness, and moods present in different ways, and that's why different herbs are going to be needed different herbs are going to be needed for people. Meaning, if you have stress, yes, blue vervain may be that herb, but it may be that you're more of a valerian constitution, and that herb's going to work better for you.
Yes, that's great, how you are dealing with the individual, not just with some kind of list of what a particular herb might do, but how is this person presenting? And then, of course, you're very into talk therapy and other psychological aspects of health and wellness to help balance. So what do you mean by creating a protective bubble?
So, you know, there's a woman named Judith Orloff, and I had attended a bunch of her lectures. And
she has been a guest here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Yes,
she's wonderful. So she speaks about vampires who literally put their tentacles on you and can pull out your energy. So, you know, sometimes when people come to me with mood, they would like some mood guidance. They'd like to feel better emotionally. But they're around people that they can't get away from. Maybe it's a coworker that's very destructive, but they're not willing to leave their job and there's nothing they can do about it. It could be a first cousin that has moved into your home because they lost their husband or their job. So very often we're around people that can really bring us down emotionally or frustrate us. So it's hard to do, but people can learn to create what I call a protective bubble, where they can literally create an invisible bubble around them where whatever people are saying that can agitate them can just kind of deflect off this bubble so it doesn't go into their system. So, of course, it's best to not be around these type of people, but we're often forced to.
Well, we can't always choose when it's our husband or our kids. You know?
Right. So one of my favorite statements is we're not responsible or not in charge of what happens to us in our lives, just how we respond. So if you know you're going to have a guest stay at your home for a couple days, and you love that guest and you want to help that guest, but that guest frustrates you, you need to not wait for that moment of frustration to decide what to do. You need to prep ahead of time. And I'm very into preventative medicine emotionally and physically. So a couple days before that friend comes to your home, maybe take some herbs like lemon balm or skullcap or other herbs that you found that worked well to calm you down. Perhaps it's linden. And you also need to work on making sure you remember to take some deep breaths and know how to center yourself. But you need to practice putting up a protective bubble so that you cannot be affected. I have this one example in my book, Moodtopia, where there was a young boy who used to get his hair cut once a week. This was back in the day when you'd have, you know, your nice little boarding school cut, private school haircut. And he would sit there, and one time the barber got a phone call, and he said, "Excuse me, can I take the call?" And the young man said, "Of course." And the barber went like this, "Uh-huh, oh, uh-huh, yes, uh-huh." And when he hung up the phone, the young boy said to the barber, "You know, can you? I don't mean to be personal, but what was that call all about?" And he said that he had this uncle that would call him every day and complain about everything that was going on in his life. And at first, this barber spent years trying to problem solve, trying to fix his uncle's problems, always came up with new ideas, was very, very invested. And what he found over the years was that his uncle would not take any of his suggestions. His uncle would not do anything that he said, and his uncle just wanted to complain. So this barber, not so well educated, a simple man, learned an amazing, brilliant lesson, which was he wanted to be there for the person. I'm sure he put up his own invisible protective bubble to not let what his uncle say affect him and stress him out. And he learned how to support that person in a way that was not destructive to himself. So that's what learning to put up a bubble is. You know, it's not being rude to people. It's not ignoring people. No one's going to know whether you have that protective bubble up. But that way, when people are being rude and nasty or saying things inappropriately, you can stand there being calm, cool, and collected and not be affected affected emotionally and allow those other people to make you feel stressed and raise your cortisol levels.
Well, you talked about some important herbs there again. And, you know, today is back to school, right? So
yes.
You are a mother of seven children.
Yes.
And you are the author of Moodtopia. I want to remind our listeners, Moodtopia, tame your mood, de-stress, and find balance using herbal remedies, aromatherapy, and more. And we're going to come right back after our break. We're going to take a break so you can find out about all the wonderful shows right here on Progressive Radio Network. And by the way, we're in the midst of a campaign to ask you to donate to this station that brings you so much information. All you have to do is go to prn.fm and there's a donate button there. You can donate one time or you can have a monthly donation of any amount that you feel it's worth to you getting all of this free information. And don't forget, all these shows are also available on the archive. If somebody you think might love listening to Moodtopia, today's topic with author Sarah Chana Silverstein, you can tell them to tune in. So we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Gary Null, the founder of the Progressive Radio Network. Today we have more than 80 producers bringing forth the most progressive and most liberating information, the kind of information you do not regularly hear on any of the mainstream or alternative media. You can help us now. Up to this point, I have virtually supported the Progressive Radio Network, all of its expenses and payroll, myself. But we would like to expand our reach. We'd like to do far more. We'd like to be able to advertise on Facebook and let others know we exist. We are the number one progressive radio network in the world. In fact, we have programs that are most listened to in all of progressive radio. But we could go a lot further. Our message could reach a lot more people, especially at a time when people are desperate for honest, objective insights on the important topical issues of our day. How can you help? It's simple. Go to prn.fm, go to our main page. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little button, Support Now. And then whatever you can contribute on a monthly basis will make a big difference. It will help get the message out. It will help inform more people, give them more choices. This is where you'll hear in the independent candidates and the people looking to challenge the corruption in government and industries. But we need to get our reach out further. So please, whatever you can afford on a monthly basis, and there's some suggestions there, and it'll be automatic. All right? Thank you very much for continuing to help us help you and the rest of the world on these important issues.
New to crypto? Curious? Interested in learning more? Or are you a seasoned investor who wants to find new and ever-evolving crypto investments? No matter what level you are, we want to keep you informed. Join us on coffeetalk.co, Let's Talk Crypto, Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on prn.fm.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
book, The Natural Nurse. Give us a shout out, and thank you so much for listening. Today we have as our guest herbalist Sarah Channer Silverstein, and she's talking about her new book, wonderful book, that tells you and your family how to tame your moods, de-stress, and find balance using herbal remedies, aromatherapy, and more. The name of the book is Moodtopia. Absolutely beautiful cover, really light and bright. It puts you in a good mood just looking at this cover, Sarah.
Thank you. I agree. I love it.
Now, let's talk about back to school, because we're right there today, aren't we?
It's so funny. Last week, I did a TV show in Los Angeles on back to school, and when I spoke to the segment producer, I'm like, yeah, and we're going to be talking about back to school for parents. Forget the stress of the kids. So some parents are like, whoa, I'm so glad my kids are back in school. But so many parents are like, how is my daughter's teacher going to realize how brilliant my child is? And then how do we make sure our children are not getting bullied? And then we don't want our children to be too popular, but then we get all anxiety stressed out to make sure that they have enough friends. So, of course, there's herbs we can use for kids, because it is a hard transition for a lot of people, a lot of children that have spent their summers outdoors and now they have to be inside small classrooms. So the herbs we've discussed to date so far are so useful. An herb like skullcap, given a couple drops to a child as they walk out the door when they're nervous, can just calm them down and is not going to prevent their ability to concentrate in school. And I tell my clients, just you take a dose also while you're sending your kid off to school. When kids get home from school, I'm going to discuss lemon balm again, although there's so many herbs to discuss. But kids can be hyper and nervous and exhausted and hungry all at the same time. So giving a little lemon balm is wonderful. If kids and or parents are having trouble falling asleep after all the nervous excitement of new school, there's an herb called passion flower that is safe, easy to use, and can really help you get that deeper sleep that's needed for school.
And, you know, I find it odd, actually, when parents wonder if herbs can be safe for children, but meanwhile they're using over-the-counter pharmaceutical drugs from the drugstore. And when you read what is in those things with artificial flavors, colors, things that are known toxins and carcinogens, and yet they're not worried about using that, but they're worried about using herbs, that's mind-blowing.
Well, what I do is, you know, especially since we have our smartphones in our hands at every moment, is I open up the pictures of the herbs and I show them the plants, and it tends to calm parents down right away. When I show them these beautiful flowers and the beautiful greenery in the leaves, they feel more closer to those herbs. I was once listening to an herbalist speak, and she was saying that she would take her clients out to her herb garden and let them see and experience the herbs. Well, I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and you know, there's a lot of concrete, a lot of cars, a lot of fire escapes. I mean, occasionally we have a little garden here and there. I personally have an herb garden on my windowsill, but people in bigger cities have more difficulty attaching to the plants. I mean, even when they go vegetable shopping, I mean, if you ask a six-year-old in New York or LA, where do apples come from? They're going to say the basket at the store on the corner. Like, it's hard for kids to associate that apples come from a tree. And I find that their parents are also struggling to make that connection. So I feel, you know, unless you're living out in rural areas, that most city folks are very detached from understanding and experiencing plants. And even when you show them a picture, it brings people right back into it. They're like, oh yeah, look at those roses. And I'm like, by the way, all rose petals are edible. They're like, what? I'm like, well, not the ones from your florist, but all roses that grow naturally. They're high in vitamin C. They help heal the heart. You can use some essential oils topically. And all of a sudden, their eyes just open so wide, Ellen. And so I think intuitively people will feel comfortable with plants. Again, it's just about how we introduce them to plants.
That is so true, and they're so natural. And again, not 100% safe. People can have little allergic reactions to anything. That's true. So when you start a new herb, yourself, your child, your husband, or your dog, by the way, that's another whole topic, you want to give a small dose first, see how, you know, that there's no specific allergic reaction, which are very, very rare, by the way, very rare. Whereas pharmaceutical drugs, it's actually very common, and yet people pop them like, you know, there's no problem with them, and there's huge problems with them. So also, you use aromatherapy. Now, we're getting to the end of our time together, Sarah, but is it possible to use some of these things together, like homeopathy, aromatherapy, and herbal medicine?
Yes, I like to integrate all three. I love homeopathy when you have a chronic, deep-seated problem that's hard to get out of your body. You're very stuck in a certain emotional place. I love to use herbs because people can use them freely as needed. And aromatherapy, I love it. I personally don't believe that essential oils will help as deeply emotionally as homeopathy and herbs. But we know that smells create memories. And for instance, I teach my clients that if you have a child that has trouble going to sleep, if you begin to put a couple drops of lavender oil maybe on their pajamas, maybe one or two drops on their pillow, what'll happen is, even if they're in their mom, I can't sleep state, after many nights of smelling that lavender essential oil, and it could be any oil you choose, they will subconsciously begin to associate sleep with that oil. So even if they're fighting sleep because there's so much to do and they have FOMO, they have fear of missing out, just by inhaling those scents, their body's going to start to calm down. And we know all the clinical studies of lavender oil with insomnia, but there are a lot of other fragrances and essential oils that work also. So I like to use essential oils to make that association to remind us that it's time to sleep, or using grapefruit oil in the morning. If we need a little bit of a boost, inhaling a little bit of that will just give you that zest to start your day. Not exactly like caffeine, but it's a beautiful scent that can lift you up. So I teach my clients how to use essential oils to help create the lives that they want and to help stimulate them or help them go to sleep when they need that assistance also.
Yes, those are wonderful, wonderful suggestions. Thank you so much. So what other things? We have to bring it to a close here. So give us some overall suggestions and how people can get in touch with you and find out more about your wonderful book, Moodtopia.
Thank you. Moodtopia is available all over the internet. You just Google the name and there's 200 different places that you can purchase the book. I can be reached through my website at sarahchana.com. That's sarahchana.com. And I'm all over social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and my handle is sarahchana.s. And I'm happy to speak with people if you email me or send me a message via Instagram or Facebook. I try my best to get back to people because people have
thank
so many
you,
questions, Ellen, and they need
an
answer.
Thank you so much for all that information. And thank you, listeners. Tune in again and get in touch at naturalnurse.com. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.